Welcome to the Equity Guru Podcast. This is Chris Parry, where I interview movers and shakers in the Canadian junior market space. We try to talk to people who have an interesting story rather than a story that's being overly promoted. And the second on our list of companies we really wanted to get to the heart of is Veritas Pharma. Veritas is a relatively new play, and what they're seeking to do is to use a all-star lineup of academia from the West Coast to determine what is the single most workable or multiple most workable strains of medical marijuana to treat patients for nausea, pain, and vomiting. It's an interesting story. There are others that are out there that would claim they're doing scientific research to prove out the efficacy of medical marijuana, but not many have this sort of heavy hitting behind them. So I talked to Dr. Louis Franciosi about what's happening at his company, and it was an illuminating conversation.
Okay, my name is Louis Franciosi. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Veritas Pharma Incorporated. It's on the CSE, it's VRT.
And there's, a personal origin story in the back of this company, isn't there? What made it come to be in the first place?
So, yeah, that's right, actually. Bern McLeod had his wife diagnosed with ovarian cancer many years ago, and unfortunately, the disease just took a big toll on her. Toward the end, the analgesics that were available to her weren't very good. It didn't do a lot for her, and obviously, he knew in his past life that marijuana does have a spectrum of effects, and obviously, it also was analgesic. So he tried it on her, and she felt very, very well comforted by it toward the end. And so that stuck in his mind, and obviously, with the big interest around society having this plant come back, possibly as a therapeutic agent, he thought, well, let's just see if we can make something of it, and talk to Michael Walker about it, obviously with his track record as well. They got their heads together and they started Cannavert, which is the basis of Veritas.
So why don't we get a little bit of your background? How did you find yourself one day waking up as boss of Veritas?
So my background is I did a PhD in pharmacology, specifically clinical pharmacology, at the University of British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. Did that and finished off in 2003, and headed to Europe, where I did a postdoc in Holland and then in the UK, looking at lung disease. With that, I was quite interested at looking at disease progression, looking at various drugs to see how that changes, working with Glaxosmith and Klein at the time. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get myself back to Vancouver, and I landed a position with Rona Pharma, which is a LSE company, and its ticker was VRP at the time on the London Exchange. And so they were specifically looking at asthma COPD drugs, and I was the chief operating officer at the time. Mm-hmm. And the goal was to get this these drugs that were created by Sir David Jack, these asthma drugs, to clinical. So the idea was to do a lot of preclinical studies in various parts of Europe, get them ready, get these pharmacological assays in place, and then once they were shown, the drugs were shown to be safe, look at also their efficacy, and one came out, VRP 700 and VRP RPL 554. So we're quite fortunate to take those to clinic eventually in Holland, and showed that they were effective. So that was sort of my first catapult into full on drug development. With that, I decided to come back to Vancouver, and I'm now all of a sudden the CEO of Veritas Pharma.
Right.
So,
there's not many people out there who would say that there's doubt that cannabis and cannabis extractions work for pain relief and for a variety of other things. But there's been scant scientific evidence, establishment evidence to really be able to go to, say, insurance companies or to the CMA to say, let's get this thing on the schedule.
Well, yeah, the goal is to take what we learned from the drug development side, discovery and development side, and apply it to cannabis. I mean, the idea would be to do at least the minimum animal studies, pharmacological assays that would show both safety and efficacy of various cultivars. And the idea is if we could quickly set this system on for doing hundreds of strains, it'd be quicker to get a hit as to what may be possibly effective in the clinic. So that's kind of what makes us takes the process one step further, and we can quickly get to an answer that we can then quickly go to clinic, because what we could do is we could take already what is the strain being used, either smoked or turn it into an oil and go right into a trial. And then once we understand that the potential effect is there, then we can quickly bring it to market. Mm-hmm. There's no need to do the 5-10 year run, what I call the high road to getting to the market. Now we could turn this probably around about in a year's time.
So that's the plan in a year or 18 yeah. months to have something that's lockdownable. And,
exactly.
And would I be right in assuming that in that time, if we regulatory wise, if we move forward to a place where there's a little less pressure on the marijuana industry from regulators, that we might open up to things like the insurance companies welcoming it as a treatment?
Yeah, we would hit up the various states possibly, as well as parts of Canada where people are actually being prescribed medicinal marijuana. And we would just say to the professionals there that this has actually got a good backbone of evidence to suggest that it does work, and go from there. We could start selling it. The goal is to standardize the cultivar, basically trying to make sure that we replicate the same pattern of chemicals that are present over a run. And you know, if we can't do it with just one, we'll try to do it with two or three cultivars in one go in one mixture, and then demonstrate at least the minimum is there to produce the effect. And I think once we could say that, especially in the form of a patent, we can definitely assure the regulators and the pharmacies that we are actually meeting the minimum effective dose, I guess, equivalent.
Right. So in terms of your academic connections, both personally but also within the company, I know that makes things a little bit easier on the research side when you can point to that and say, look, this is why we need a truckload of weed. But you've got connections that sort of go beyond just getting permits. So explain, if you could, the makeup of the team that you have there.
Yeah, so we're a group of about 7 scientists, I myself being the 8th. Well, the goal is to have expertise around, again, the 3 core centers, the chemistry, the pharmacology, which is mainly animal research, and then there's the clinical research, which is my forte. And so we have one person that covers pretty much the span from molecule to human, and that's our lead pharmacologist. That's Professor Michael Walker, who is the president and the CEO and head of biology for Cannavert, which is the group that he represents that we're investing in as Veritas. Mm-hmm. They are the backbone of Veritas indirectly. So he takes the lead. He's, to his credit, he's been involved in 2 drug development programs that have created at least $800 billion. You know,
wow.
It's $800 million, I should say, and of actual licensing fees, and also another probably I would say $200 million in shareholder value with the companies he's been part of. So that right off the bat shows that, I mean, there's a guy who's done both drug discovery and development, and actually did the best thing that anybody could, is to actually license the IP out to a big pharma like Merck.
Sure.
So that's great to start. Then we have the other core scientist, Bern McLeod, who's a clinician, an ethicist, and researcher, who has done a lot of the backbone work for Michael, looking at the pain area and asthma area, because obviously anesthesia is the lung, and that's key to understanding the dynamics and mechanics of that system. So he's been influential in that. And then there's also then Richard Wall, who has been the chemistry side of it, trying to understand how he can develop based on structure activity relationships, the best drugs he can to support, again, the IP. Mm-hmm. And then there's some chemists in there that have got a great track record as well of supporting the, at least the medicinal side and Richard Wall's work. So that's sort of the key group, and then some students as well that are going to be doing a lot of the pharmacological assays that we got in-house right now. So
you've basically got a murderer's row of pointy heads for the UBC All-Star team.
Basically, yeah.
That brings with it, I imagine, a much easier ability to do things like bring in grant money.
Yeah, definitely. That some of the guys have had grants in the past from the leading granting agencies, like IRAP, and obviously the other major one, which is MITACS. They have had a lot of experience, and the idea is to match a lot of this money that we found. Sort of a one-to-one matching, so that's the goal actually, and the process is underway right now to do that. So it's great to have that relationship with academia and the grading agencies.
For sure, and with a clear track record of actually delivering on developing and taking to retail. So for those who don't know how the grant system works, basically, if Veritas raises $2 million and channels that into the research that there are matching grants that will come in and match dollar for dollar or even more than dollar for dollar. Is that my correct understanding?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. They are much more about infrastructure, like the building itself. They will put more money into it. We're not quite there yet, but eventually if we start to get even bigger, yeah, we're going to pursue that.
Nice for the investors to get non-dilutive financing in there for sure.
Yeah, and we also get a credit. The government gives you a science credit. So basically, if you get $1 million, they'll give you $500,000 back.
Nice.
So it's fantastic.
I know that a lot of academics have been noodling around in this space, but it's always been the case that it's difficult to really do it justice if you can only get your hands on a little bit at a time, and you can't necessarily get a 100 different strains. What's Veritas got in its pocket that sets it aside from that problem?
Well, we've got a good relationship with Whistler Medical Marijuana. Mm-hmm. They are going to be our suppliers, and they are at the moment at the forefront of creating good organic marijuana strains. So it's a great start there, and I think once we set the pace with them and run through this system that we've got running or at the moment, with controls at least, we could definitely get this out quicker with them being fully a dispensary for us, in the long run. But we could ourselves eventually get into that area of trying to dispense at least over the internet eventually if we do some more active research. So,
right. So if you find a strain that, the golden ticket, the Charlotte's web of pain relief or cancer relief, how do you actually make that something that's your own IP, that someone can't come along and just, buy a little bit and grow their own?
Yeah. So the idea is first set up the pattern of chemistry that is behind the cultivar, support it with the biology that we can achieve, and then it's the minimum clinical trial data. So once we've established those three items that support the cultivar or cultivars as unique, then we would obviously, in that process, we would also, at least if we even got a minimum hit, we would actually get a patent application in place with the Canadian authorities, but also the U.S. authorities, and get breeder's rights, at least in Canada, on those cultivars. And then once that's set, then we will go right to getting it sold to and licensed possibly, like I said, to the various dispensaries that are out there, and even hit up the major agencies like the U.S. Cancer Agency out there and see if they would be interested in using it as part of their current cocktail therapies, at least for pain and nausea and vomiting.
Sure.
That would be the ultimate goal. And to protect it, we would obviously have lawyers around in various countries that could help us oversee what treatments are out there and see if they actually are growing the same thing that we're trying to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So
basically building a brand within the academics and establishment rather than the retail brand.
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to some of the guys who are putting the deal together, and they said that they'd got the first report back on how money was being utilized, the first investment report. Mm-hmm. And we're quite surprised how lean things have been to this point.
Yeah, we're quite a tight ship. And finding the right people. I mean, the biggest costs will likely be the actual animal experiments that we set up, the assays that go around to demonstrating the effect and of a specific cultivar. So, mm-hmm. It's part and parcel of the process of doing discovery. So, once mm-hmm. we got the system running, which is proprietary, I think I'm pretty sure we'll find some hits in there. And we have a lot of controls that are being used right now in the clinic that will be there right beside them to see how they compare. So we'll have the standards beside them.
And so the beings you have that lineup of big hitters there that work with established agencies, what are some of the partners or potential partner agencies that could be utilized in terms of moving this forward?
Well, we're quite fortunate to have a contact who's been a prominent member of the BC Cancer Agency. Actually, that's the agency that we would like to eventually trial a lot of these cultivars in. And they have specific protocols for but basically looking at it from an analgesia point of view, but also nausea and vomiting related to chemotherapy. So the group that we're eyeing right now will be bringing on a board member shortly that has a great experience in setting it up. So I think the long run, I think the agency in itself could speak volumes for us if we demonstrate the effectiveness that we are seeing in at least preclinically. So we'll be very pleased. And I know that that eventually, if it does demonstrate a big effect, it will become a protocol that will probably be rolled out across Canada and eventually maybe in the U.S. So
and that changes everything at that point.
Oh, it does, yeah.
That goes beyond big pharma. That goes into crazy pharma.
Yeah, yeah. They will publish it, at least in scientific journals and also any major conferences that come up as abstracts. So I think a lot of people will know about specific strains that they're going to originate from Veritas Pharma. And that's what the physicians want. They want to know how good is it to the existing therapy. So we can definitely demonstrate that based on our assays. And the evidence that we collect in the clinic.
We could certainly do with a lot less of prescription drugs that are currently out there that almost
correct.
Have more side effects than things they fix.
Yeah, absolutely. We could. I'm hoping it'd be nice to see if we can even do it over the counter. You can basically take it even using like Tiger Balm, which is what was actually assessed by Michael Walker here in Canada. So many years ago, he brought it to Canada.
Huh. So there are a lot of guys that are involved in the setting up of this company who've been involved with the public markets a lot. So while you've got the academic side, while you've got the pharmaceutical side, the market side is also being taken care of. Certainly there's a lot of people looking at the company right now. How quick a study are you on that side of things?
See, I was part of Verona Pharma, which was my first ever exposure to the public markets. I was mm-hmm. on the AIM exchange at the time, which is part of the London Stock Exchange. And, it was a great experience dealing with not only with the operation sides of the company, but I was also doing some investor relations as well, trying to get the message out and also raise money as we were going on that path to get the stock price at a higher value based on our clinical studies and the outcomes that were there. And this would be my second run on at least in a North American setting. So, but the guys that I have been dealing with, Michael Walker has been on a variety of exchanges from Toronto to the NASDAQ to even London Stock Exchange. So he's got enormous experience and a backbone of great investor relations. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So you've got all the bases covered. It's, my job usually when I come into a company like yours is to poke around and find the thing that no one's talking about. You know, the thing that if all goes horribly wrong could bring it all undone. But, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of we hope in this company. It's more a case of we are going to do this because it will make this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can do basically. We'll make it work. We'll know a lot of the effects before they actually were to happen in the clinic. So based on our assay. So that's something that again is missing out there in the mainstream processes that are happening around marijuana now being used in the at least in the clinic anyway.
Right, and without the sort of academic heavyweight behind a company if someone else wanted to come and beat you to the punch, it's a difficult ask.
It is, yeah. They really have to have the same know-how and experience. Again, very little experience and know-how that I know that's out there, just like us. So I think we are going to be the leaders.
So for the casual investor who wants to see his share price accelerating through the next 12 to 18 months, obviously there's a long-term goal that if everything goes to plan will pay off nicely. But what about the short term? What does it look like in terms of news flow and reasons for the share price to go up over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months?
Okay, basically we are going to, once we start establishing the cultivars, we will be announcing them that we have put applications into the U.S. and Canadian patent offices and possibly got some breeding rights on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start to publish, the apps are in, we'll start to publish some data around them in scientific journals. So that could be happening in the next 6 months for sure.
Okay.
And then eventually in that time frame, we'll start to bring in some more heavy hitters, people that have had a lot of experience already in the world of marijuana, especially in Holland. We're hoping to bring in a major expert there that could give us some more insight as to how he got a lot of it approved in Holland and eventually marketed. So, how it was regulated proper. So that's kind of what's going to happen in the next, 6 to 8 months for sure.
Sure. So people who decide, maybe I'll wait a little bit and see what happens, could at any point miss that news release that says, we're popping the champagne corks, we just found something great.
The plan. We'll be announcing it as we go along.
Is there anything in your mind that you think, if this happens, it's going to stretch things out longer than we expected? Or are you pretty confident that the plan as it stands is well within the timelines that you've laid out?
Yeah, I think we are on target
based
on the initial estimates and what has happened over the last quarter. I think we're still on target here. Yeah, I think the hard part will be deciding what is going to be the first cultivar to be used in the clinic. You want to go with the best chance you got, right?
So, sure.
And that will be more toward the end of the year. Once we know, we'll probably get in there quickly.
So I'm imagining if someone like GW Pharma came along in 12 to 18 months and wanted to get a little bit ahead of the game, they could either go and find those guys with the white lab coats and the machines that go ding, or they could go to the established, working with the cancer agencies, laying down IP, doing things in a clinical way guys, which would be you. I'm guessing that you'd be a much more attractive target.
I think so, yeah. I think the idea would be if, because they're more interested in going at the molecule level, I think understanding what's going on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we could definitely license it out and they can go even one step further and try to see if they can find the magic molecule, which I think, again, it's a long haul process, but there's people that are willing to do that, so.
Is there a point where the job is done, where you say, all right, we have nailed it and now the only thing to do is to sell this thing? Or once you hit that point, do you move on to the next symptom and find something that works best with something else?
Yeah, I think you could always optimize by designing a better plant.
Uh-huh.
You could start working with the geneticist and develop a plant that actually will produce all the spectrum that we need. Even if we have to use a couple cultivars to produce the spectrum we need, you could still get a plant maybe to design what you want. So eventually that would be sort of the long term. And then, do the same thing, run it through the screens and then get into the clinic to see if we can see that same or better effect. That's kind of where we would like to see the company go eventually from a research point of view, right? So.
Sure. Obviously, 100 years ago, cannabis oil was being used for just about every ailment around. It was the standard treatment for just about everything. Was there any work done way, way, way back then that to sort of indicate where the sweet spot might be closest? Or was basically medicine back there just too rudimentary to?
Well, the only thing that I know that was done was in the West Indies. I understand there was a tribe using it for glaucoma. They were, and I know that was the most obvious effect. People were able to see better and not have those symptoms of glaucoma. So that's another therapeutic area that we could look at Definitely, mm-hmm. You know, and I think it would, again, have a huge impact and it would be noticed quite across the board if we could find a much better glaucoma drug. So,
what would you say would be the difference between your baseline generic, you know, bottom end plant and what you're aiming for in terms of the top of the top? Is it like an 80% to 100%, or is it 50% to 100%, or is it 12 or?
Well, yeah, it definitely could have you know, most I think most therapies would actually be more like a placebo, where a third of the population will react regardless of what's in there. Uh-huh. I think we could definitely we could top it up a bit more, up to about 40 to 50. Ideally, you know, if you could hit a 60% hit, you know, you get 60% of the population, even better. You know, then you start getting into the designer area where you start hitting 80. I think 80 to 90, you really have optimized the spectrum of chemicals that you need to produce the overall effect. So,
yeah. I'm guessing that the ideal for you is not a medicine that's smoked, but a different delivery system.
Yeah, ideally it should be a pill or an oil that you could rub on, or obviously put under your tongue. So I think that is from a quicker way to get to the clinic, that's the way to go. Obviously, the magic pill would be the ideal, or infusion, but that is you know, 5 to 10 years away for the, if you did take the high road. But then again, there's the big pharma that can do that for you. They could pick up these projects and take it even further. So they have the bigger money.
On the other side, I know I won't take too much more of your night, but on the other side of things, we've got a lot of activists, for want of a better word, enthusiasts who've been doing the home medication and working between themselves. Is there any input from that crowd as to, you know, ways to maybe guide you to a place where the last 30 years of experimentation in garages might point you to something that works better?
There is groups of people. I know there's a veteran group that have been tracking a lot of this amongst the veterans who have been using it, at least in Canada. And it's good to have that access, because they could roughly give you a ballpark of where some of the strains are that are producing the big effects. So, you know, having that guidance from groups like that, independent groups, is fantastic. And I know we are working on that relationship right now. So, one of our colleagues. So it's quite good.
It's a lot more fun than digging holes in the ground and looking for shiny stuff, isn't it? I mean, literally,
yeah, it is.
You get to say to people, you know, we're not curing cancer, but we're curing the pain that follows. So if someone's interested in more information about your company, I'm sure you have a website that helps them out.
Yeah. So we're www.veritaspharmainc.com.
Excellent. And thank you very much for your time. It's been a great conversation. I look forward to talking to you again.
To find Veritas Pharma on your online trading desk, look for VRT at the CSE, or VRTHF on the OTC in the US, or in Frankfurt, 2VP.